ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बोधरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेते मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते सम्प्राप्ते सन्निहिते काले नहि नहि रक्षति डुक्रुं कर्णे। इन अवर लास्ट क्लास वी हैव बीन टॉकिंग द 20th वर्स ऑफ द मोहमुद्गर आर भज गोविंदम। भगवद्गीता किंचिदतीता गंगा जल लव कणिका पीता सकृदपि येन मुरारि समर्च क्रियते तस्य यमेन न चर्च। लेट ए मैन रीड बट ए लिटिल फ्रॉम भगवद्गीता। ड्रिंक जस्ट ए ड्रॉप ऑफ वाटर फ्रॉम द गैंजेस। वर्शिप बट लॉर्ड मुरारी ही देन विल हैव no altercation with Yama. I also mentioned the essence of all the scriptures is the name of God. And last class I quoted the Ramakrishna Sadhu, the big book, but only one word, Rama. And that is enough. So Bhagavad Gita is consisting of nearly 700 verses. But see, the thing that happens here, that does a person need to master all the 700? That is why great Acharya like Ramanuja says the last verse, that is, Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja aham tva sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchaha. You surrender yourself to God and rely totally upon Him and He will save us. Who is telling? The Lord Himself is telling us. In this context, I remember this story quoted by Sri Ramakrishna Himself. Once, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone on a pilgrimage to South India. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in a temple and he saw a pandit was giving a talk, a very learned talk on Bhagavad Gita. And there was a very ordinary, even illiterate looking person shedding tears. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became a bit suspicious. He went there and asked him, "Do you understand what the pandit is talking about?" And that man said, "No, I don't understand even a single word." "Then why are you shedding tears?" "Because I am seeing Lord Krishna in front of me teaching Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and said, "Blessed are you. Of all the people here, you are the only person who had really understood the Bhagavad Gita. What is the essence of Bhagavad Gita or any other scripture? To have a direct realization of the Divine Lord. Here is the devotee who is having a direct vision of Bhagavan Krishna and he himself is teaching to Arjuna." In this context, we have to remember, do you really understand that to teach 700 verses will take at least, if not more, at least 2 hours? Do you think the enemy army, Duryodhana, etc., will be keeping quiet, devotedly listening to Bhagavad Gita? No, we have to understand by just one touch, one glance. Sri Krishna must have taught him, or just a few sentences, or one shloka, Sarvadharman, the rest has been expanded by Vedavyasa or somebody else, it doesn't matter. But that is what is called Mahavakya. When the disciple is ready and Arjuna was ready, how do we know? Because he said, I surrender myself to you. So, Sishyasteham, Shadhimam, Tvam Prapannam, I have taken refuge in you. I surrendered myself to you. I am ready as a Sishya. Shadhimam, you just tell me. I will do whatever you ask me to do. This is called complete self-surrender. And that is what Shankaracharya is telling here. Bhagavad Gita, Kinchit Adhita. Just learn this much. Or you, we can even take the other verse. What is the other verse? That Ananyas Chantayanto Mam E Janaha Pariupasate Tesham Nityabhiyuktanam Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. So, even a little bit. And what is the essence of the Gita? Sri Ramakrishna's famous commentary on Bhagavad Gita. He who chants fast the word Gita a few times and it turns out to be Tagi. Gita becomes Tagi. Tagi means, O man, renounce your egotism, surrender yourself to the divine, and that is the essence of the entire Bhagavad Gita. And that is what is telling Kinchit Adhita. Just let the man understand, you don't need the whole Bhagavad Gita. This much is enough. Surrender yourself to God. Similarly, Ganga, Jala, Lava, Kanika, Pita. Just sip one drop of the Ganges. Sri Ramakrishna practiced it and Holy Mother practiced it. Swamiji practiced it. Every saint practiced it. Just whenever they feel some impure thoughts are coming, they have come into touch with impurity in whatever form, just a few drops of Ganges sprinkle and they feel extremely pure. Similarly, one grain of the prasada of Jagannatha is more than enough. This is what I'm telling. Sri Ramakrishna was telling funnily, one need not touch Ganga from the Gangotri to Ganga Sagar. Any place, just take one drop with faith and that is enough. So, Ganga, Jala, Lava, Kanika, Pita. That is what in fact we do in our ashramas. We just keep store the Ganges water and before worshipping any god, we just mix with a few liters of water, just one or two drops of Ganga, and then not only Ganga, Gange cha Yamune chaiva Godavari Saraswati Narmade Sindhu Kaveri Jale Asmin Sannidhim Kuru. So all the sacred rivers will be present where Ganga is present. So pure it is. And Sakrudapi Yena Murari Samarcha. Even if somebody worshipped Murari, that is Narayana, Krishna, or Shiva, it doesn't matter what name you call him. Sakrut means once, not 100 times, not even twice, once, but with complete purity, Shraddha, Bhakti, O Lord, I belong to you, and you belong to me, and we belong to each other. Just with that complete faith, if anybody worships Lord Krishna or Bhagavan in any form, whether it is Jesus or God or Allah or Buddha, it doesn't really matter. Murari Samarcha. Archa means puja. Samarcha means good worship. That is real worship. What is real worship? I belong to you is the real worship. And there are 3 stages in it. First, I belong to you. Second, you belong to me. This is the higher step. And the final step is that there is no difference between you and me. This was what Sri Ramakrishna had explicitly taught through Hanuman's example దేహ ఈవెన్ ఐ థింక్ ఐఎమ్ ది బాడీ దేహ బుద్ధియా తు దాసోహం జీవ బుద్ధియా తదంశక ఆత్మబుద్ధియా త్వమేవాహం వెన్ ఐ థింక్ ఐఎమ్ ది బాడీ ఐఎమ్ జస్ట్ ఎ సర్వెంట్ ఆఫ్ యువర్స్ బట్ వెన్ ఐ థింక్ ఐఎమ్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ యూ యు ఆర్ ది హోల్ ఐఎమ్ ది పార్ట్ వెన్ ఐ థింక్ ఐఎమ్ ది ఆత్మన్ దర్ ఇస్ అబ్సల్యూట్లీ నో డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ యూ అండ్ మీ దిస్ ఈస్ ది మ్యాటర్ ఆఫ్ రియలైజేషన్ సకృదపి ఏన మురారి ముర ఈజ్ ఎ రాక్షస ఎన్ అసుర హూ ఈజ్ ఎన్ అసుర అసుర ఈజ్ వన్ హూ థింక్స్ ఐఎమ్ ది బాడీ అండ్ ఐఎమ్ ది మైండ్ అండ్ హూ ఈజ్ డిలైటెడ్ ఓన్లీ విత్ వర్షిప్పింగ్ ది బాడీ అండ్ సెల్ఫిష్లీ ఎంజాయింగ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ బట్ దిస్ మూర వాజ్ కిల్డ్ అనైలేటెడ్ బై గాడ్ హింసెల్ఫ్ వీ కెనాట్ డూ ఇట్ ఓన్లీ హీ కెన్ డూ ఇట్ బట్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు ప్రే లార్డ్ కమ్ అండ్ కిల్ ఐఎమ్ నాట్ ఏబుల్ టు కిల్ మై సెల్ఫ్ సో మూర అరి ది డిస్ట్రాయర్ ఆఫ్ ది డీమన్ కాల్డ్ మూర వాట్ ఈస్ ది మూర ది సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఐఎమ్ ది బాడీ I am the mind, that is called Mura. And Murari, one who worshipped and got destroyed by Bhagavan Krishna here, by extension, God. Then, Kriyate Tasya Yamena Nachya, Yama will not come to him. So I remember reading the reminiscences of Sargachi by of Swami Premeshanji Maharaj, beautiful book. Many gems of spiritual advice is there. Reminiscences of Swami Premeshanandaji, association with him by revered Swami, our Vice President Maharaj. I forget his name now. Vice President Maharaj. Now, here is what he says. Somebody told Swami Premeshananda because he was telling that maybe in a few days this body will fall off. A doctor said, then you will be provided with a new body. That is what Bhagavad Gita teaches, that just like a worn out cloth is thrown out and a new dress is provided. New dress means new body, that means new birth. And then Premeshanji said, no, this is the last dress, last birth, because Holy Mother herself told me that my child, this is your last birth. You are not going to be born again. In any case, he passed away in Varanasi and I had the good fortune to meet him just a few months before he passed away. Our Vice President Maharaj Swami Suhitanandaji Maharaj, he told me about this incident. That's what I read it in his reminiscences, which is coming out serially in Vedanta Kesari. So, this is what we have to understand. That's what we discussed. That you worship God and you just take in one drop of Ganga and you just remember only one verse. And if you understand, what is that verse? Surrender yourself totally to the Divine Lord. That is more than enough. Then what can the Yama do? Because this is the last birth. Yama Dharma Raja can kill. But one who surrendered himself to God, he will not be able to do anything. Is it so easy? And that is being expressed in verse number 21. How many, since how many aeons, yugas, if they say 84 churasi lakh janam, it may be even more. This is being expressed by this great Acharya, Shankaracharya. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jathare shayanam. ఇహ సంసారే బహుదుస్తారే కృపయా పారే పాహి మురారే బోరన్ అగైన్ అండ్ డెడ్ అగైన్ అండ్ అగైన్ టు బి బోరన్ ఇన్ అండ్ స్టే ఇన్ ఎ మదర్స్ వూంబ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇండీడ్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ హార్డ్ టు క్రాస్ దిస్ బౌండ్లెస్ ఓషన్ ఆఫ్ సంసార ఓ మురారి ఓ కేశవ ఓ కృష్ణ ఓ నారాయణ ఓ శివ O Divine Mother, redeem me through thy mercy. Only thy mercy and nothing else will occur. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. We all die. Unless we get realization, unless we have become one with God, unless God has bestowed our grace, we have to be born again and again and again and again until we realize God and we attain mukti. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. There is an end, but it may be a long time. And then same idea is there, punarapi, once again, punaha api again, janani jatare shayanam, 9 months, or it may be few days less, few days more, jatare, in the womb of the mother, shayanam. How painful it is to be lying there with urine, with feces, everything there, and we cannot move, and mother is feeding through a tube feeding starts there itself, and this is the condition until one attains liberation. Iha samsare, this is called samsara. What is called samsara? Transmigration. What is samsara? Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatareshe. We go through birth, we go through growth, we become young, we become old, we become diseased, we suffer, and we die. What is called sixfold changes, shadvikara, again and again and again. And this is not something to be believed in. This is what we are going through. And every birth we are going through, the waking state, dream state, dreamless state, or deep sleep state. And we can even compare deep sleep as death, because we are not aware. And even if somebody kills us, even if a tiger gobbles us up, there is no way. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatare shayanam. Iha samsare, bahu dustare, duhu tare. Tare means to go to the other side of the ocean. And bahu, that is almost infinite. It is impossible. Not really, but it looks like that. Bahu dukkha rupena taranam. That is very difficult. This is called samsara. And then, what is the way out? Is there any way out? Can I not do sadhana? Can I not follow the footsteps of great people and follow karma yoga, bhakti yoga, raja yoga, jnana yoga? Follow any yoga. That's why I repeat again what I said quite a number of times. Does karma yoga give us mukti? No. Does bhakti yoga give? No. Does jnana yoga give? No. Does raja yoga give? No. Do you mean to say no yoga is ever going to give us mukti? No. What do these yogas do then? They at best purify our heart, give us that buddhi to understand, accepting God's grace, accepting God's infinite grace, there is no other way. Then how to obtain that God's grace? All the yogas are meant to make us fit to receive the infinite grace of God. Not that we have to beg, as Sri Ramakrishna said so many times, the breeze of God's grace is ever blowing. Only we have to unfurl our sails. That is, self-effort is not meant to obtain the grace of God. There is no need to obtain the grace of God, because God is everywhere, and God is grace, and grace is everywhere, but we are unable to receive it because of our foolishness, mahamaya, etc. All the yogas are meant to make us fit. The moment we are fit, then immediately it comes. Just as you open the window and immediately fresh air will rush in. You don't need to pray, I have opened my window or door. Oh, fresh air, please come inside. The moment we open, fresh air just rushes in, and old air just rushes out. Our only thing, ultimately, sarva dharma an parityajya. That is, sarva yoga an parityajya. That is, do not think any yoga will give us bhakti mukti. this has been so beautifully analyzed or illustrated by the story of Totapuri Maharaj, he never understood that it was the Divine Mother's grace which made him obtain even Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Because he did not acknowledge, he fell into the samsara again by getting angry, by forgetting that he is Brahman. One moment he was telling everything is Brahman, next moment he got very, very angry. So, we have to only pray, O Lord, make me fit to receive your grace. That's why when we sit for puja, we will have to pray, O Lord, make me do your puja. I cannot really do my puja unless you make me do. And that was what Sri Ramakrishna did. Oh mother, I do not know what to do, what not to do. You make me do what you wish me to do. You make me speak what you wish me to speak. You make me think what you wish me to think. These many songs are there expressing Jaman bolao, temni boli. Jaman korao, temni kori. Jaman nachao, temni nachi. And songs on Divine Mother Kali, these ideas are there. And they are absolutely truth again and again, thrice truth again and again. So, the only way, Kripaya, through your boundless grace, apare, bahudustare, samsare, apara, means limitless, endless. What? Endless what? Kripa, your grace is endless and samsara also appears to be endless. O Lord, since samsara is endless, your endless grace alone can take me to the other side. How painful it is, Sri Ramakrishna is graphically describing, undergoing the pangs of birth again and again, passing through the throes of death again and again, lying in the mother's womb over and over again. This process of samsara, transmigration, is very hard to cross over. But it can be done. How? With the infinite kindness, Murari, O merciful Lord, Sri Ramakrishna, so several sayings are there on surrender. So, he used to say, there are two approaches to God. One is that of the young one of a monkey, and the other is the young one of a cat, kitten. So, there are two boys, Sri Ramakrishna used to say. One boy was holding the father's hand, representing the young monkey. And he sees some sight. There, Papa, see, see, he claps. And immediately, he falls down. But the other boy is being carried in the arms of the father. And this fellow, he claps his hands, he dances, he jumps up and down. Nothing happens because father is holding. The first boy represents self-help in spiritual matters. And the second one, complete reliance upon the father or mother, whatever, self-surrender. So, yes, Sri Ramakrishna continues. The essence of bhakti consists in unceasing prayer for light and love and self-surrender to my Divine Mother. First, come to my Divine Mother through these, any of the paths. Take my word for it. That if your prayer is really heartfelt, my mother will respond to it. If you will only wait, pray to her again, if you want to realize her, impersonal self. Should she deign to grant your prayer, for she is omnipotent, that means she is capable of doing anything, the impossible possible and the possible also impossible. You will be in a position to realize her impersonal self in samadhi. This is precisely the same thing as Brahmagnana. Sri Ramakrishna continues, the Lord saves one only if one surrenders oneself completely to him. Can one know God through reasoning? Be his servant. Surrender yourself to him and then pray to him. He who has surrendered his body, mind and innermost self to God is surely a holy man. Then Sri Ramakrishna makes a remarkable statement about incarnation of God. God incarnates himself as man and teaches people the path of devotion. He exhorts people to cultivate self-surrender to God. Following the path of devotion, one realizes everything through his grace, both knowledge and supreme wisdom. This is a very important statement for all of us devotees. Why does God incarnate? To show us the path, to confirm the teachings of the scriptures. But says the only way he wants to teach man as an through the incarnation, what? The path of devotion. Does it apply only to this Kali Yuga? No, is whether it is Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga or Kali Yuga. Ultimately, the path of devotion is suited to most people. And if somebody says, I don't believe in personal God, I will only think about the impersonal, like Totapuri Maharaj used to say, it is also the grace of the Divine Mother Mahamaya. But if we do not surrender ourselves, that is why in the Chandi it is written, Bhukti Mukti Pradayini. She gives both Bhukti and Mukti. And if she is pleased, she gives everything. If she is displeased, she can take away what she has once given. A Brahmagnani can be made a Brahmagnani. And a Brahmagnani can be made into a Brahmagnani by her will. That is why the incarnation of God exhorts people to cultivate self-surrender to God. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, I did not quote it here, for the Kali Yuga, for most people, the path of self-surrender through the path of bhakti as taught by Narada. And what happens? Following the path of devotion and self-surrender, one realizes everything but only through his grace. Both knowledge and supreme wisdom, bhukti, mukti, liberation and happiness in this world, yoga and kshema. Everything will come only by the grace of the Divine Mother or Saguna Brahma. So, this is what Bhagavan Krishna emphasized in Dwapara Yuga, Sarvadharman Parityajya. This was what Sri Rama emphasized, and this final teaching has been given to us by Valmiki in the Vibhishana Sharanagati, the surrender of Vibhishana. We all must become Vibhishanas, then only it is possible. But we have to pray. Our prayer should be so powerful and strong that they should cross the outer periphery of our being and penetrate into his kingdom in our innermost self and outside and melt him. Then only his grace will start flowing into us and it destroys every obstacle in the way of our sadhana. And Bhagavan saved through this complete surrender, Gajendra, it is called Gajendra Mokshana, Prahlada, Ambarisha, Narada, every great soul, every realized soul, realized God, only by the grace of God, because another name for grace of God is Atma Jnanam or Brahma Jnanam. But this is possible only through sincere prayers. In this context, we have to understand Narada's, how the story of Narada I have narrated, our devotees can really recollect it, that there are, once Narada heard about the Krishna Maya and he prayed to Krishna and Krishna showed him. In a few seconds, Narada got married, he got children, he became rich, then a flood came and he lost everything. And he so forgot that I have lost my beloved wife, beloved children, property, everything is lost. What is the use of my living? And Krishna, sweetest voice, he reminded, Narada, why are you not bringing water? Narada startled and came to his senses. All this happened, like you know, the entire life of Mahatma Gandhi was shown in a 3-hour movie. But the entire lives can be seen through 3 minutes, 3 seconds. It is said by modern psychologists, no dream lasts more than 1 or 1.5 minutes. And in that, how many places we go, how many events we experience, and how much of heartache, headache, stomachache, death, accidents, and immense happiness, immense pleasure. Everything is experienced by the Jivatma. So then Narada runs to Krishna and says, "O Lord, I want to obtain a boon from you. What is that? May I never fall into your Mahamaya. Please grant me this boon, because if you grant, then I will not fall. Because Daivi Hyasha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya. But if you don't bestow your grace, nobody can cross your Maya. E bhajanti tu mam bhaktiya. Only those who worship me with devotion. Te taranti. Only those people get my grace, and it is possible." This shloka is all about the grace of God. And the Bhagavan Krishna, also called Gitacharya. One has to give up all other paths. Sarva dharman parityajya, sarva yogan parityajya. It should not be misunderstood. We will not do anything. We will not practice anything. It means totally depend upon only God and upon nothing else. That is the meaning. And what is our personality? We are full of desires. And desires come because of egotism. And all problems come because of desires. And we, as the individual with all these ignorance and desires, etc., that is avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, and abhinivesha, this personality is called mura. And this mura can be killed only by the Divine Lord, by His grace. Now, if a person completely surrenders himself to God, there is no need to do anything more. Like a river, beautifully mentioned in the Shiva Mahimna Stotram, that different rivers originating in different directions, all when they reach the ocean, Namarupe Vihaya, giving up all the names and forms, they become merged. Henceforward, they will be known as only as the ocean, not as Ganga or Brahmaputra or Kaveri or Godavari or Krishna or Yamuna or Saraswati, etc. Gange cha Yamune chaiva Godavari Saraswati Narmade Sindhu Kaveri. All of them become ocean, because it is the ocean water which is the birthplace of every single blessed sacred river. And in our country, every river is blessed because it is Bhagavan coming to us in the form of water. And this word water has got deeper meanings, which I will not go into it today. That is why the Mahanarayana Upanishad, see, Ambhasya Pari, Bhuvanasya Madhye, Ambhasya Pari, Ambha means ocean. That is the waters of the causal waters. Before this whole creation came out, the whole pralaya time. What is that? That is why we say every time a huge flood comes and inundates the entire world. This Noah's Ark is very famous in that. And it seemed to have occurred at the same time all over the world. And most of the known world was completely submerged. That is called pralaya jala. Pralaya payodhi jale dhrita vanasi vedam. But after the pralaya, that means out of those causal waters, from the cause comes the effect. From that causal waters come out the samsara, and again goes back. Every night we go back to our home, and there only we are so happy. That is called home. And our home is the Divine Mother. Our home is the Divine Lord. That is why it is said, Mana chalo nija niketane. And such a person who surrenders himself, there he need not worry. If his body and mind still are functioning, even after some days, he will be called Jivan Mukta. His state is called Jivan Mukti. Free even while living. And what is this? How does this Jivan Mukta live? Is beautifully described in the 22nd verse. Rathya charpata virachita kanthaha. Punya punya vivarjita panthaha. Yogi yoga niyojita chittaha. Ramate bala unmattavat eva. What a marvelous description of a Jivan Mukta, the living free. What does this living man do? That sometimes he goes like a child. Sometimes he is like a unmatta, completely what you call mad, or like a ghoul, or like an inert jada, or like a child, or like a great scholar, or like a great king, great emperor, like King Emperor Janaka, whatever form. So it is said, when this Jivan Mukta sees children playing, he becomes a child. And the children also don't mind. And if he doesn't, he is not recognized by people, and he has to eat food from a heap of rubbish, like the person who came to Dakshineswar, he will go, and both sides dogs will be eating plenty of food, and he puts perhaps his hand on one of the dogs, and he will eat from the same leaf plate that the dog is eating. Would the dog mind? Absolutely no. Why? Because the dog doesn't think, a stranger is touching me, a stranger is taking, snatching away part of my food. The dog also, through that temporary satsanga, becomes like a Jivan Mukta. There is absolutely no difference between you and me. That is why this Ramakrishna observed it, that the dog also did not even mind anything. Both of them ate from the same plate. Of course, we are ignorant people. We can hardly accept it. And 100 doubts will come. Is it not polluted food? First. Secondly, is it not infectious food? If anybody eats that kind of food, will it not happen? Now, the answer to that is, whether you are eating clean food, whether you are eating any sort of food, whether you become sick, whether you remain healthy, doesn't depend upon the food, doesn't depend upon you, depends upon your karma phala. If it is your lot to suffer, even the most, what is called purest, uncontaminated food can make you virtually sick to death. But if your fate is karma phala is very good, then you eat all sorts of food. I remember a beautiful incident in the life of Swami Adbhutanandji Maharaj. Once upon a time, he visited Puri. And you know, Puri Jagannath is none other than Sri Ramakrishna himself. There are many incidents. I will not tell you today. When the occasion comes, I will narrate to you. But from Sri Ramakrishna, Swami Adbhutanandji Latu Maharaj, he heard many of these incidents, and then he went there, and then he became mad for the Lord. And he said, I have crystal clearly, I have seen Lord Jagannath as a Ramakrishna. And you see, and then he returned there full of joy. And then the devotees naturally, Maharaj, how was your pilgrimage? Said, I have experienced such a joy which I cannot describe. Of course, he will experience every holy place, but specially at Puri. That was the experience of many other direct disciples who saw Sri Ramakrishna. Some of them saw Sri Ramakrishna in the place of Lord Jagannath. Some of them saw Sri Ramakrishna entering and bowing to Lord Jagannath. You know, Sri Ramakrishna could not visit Puri as well as Gaya, because as Chaitanya, he gave up his body there. So if that memory comes to my mind, this body will not lost. Similarly, this body has come out of Gaya Vishnu, and if I visit, same thing will happen. So these two places Ramakrishna assiduously avoided. Now what are we talking about? So Latu Maharaj, he prayed to God. He was narrating this to his devotees. I asked Lord Jagannath, O Lord, out of your infinite mercy, I want two boons. And devotees were very curious to know, Maharaj, what are the two boons? Because they know Sri Ramakrishna had already bestowed his grace upon, and he is still bestowing his grace also. But what boons do you want? Such a great person like you. Then he replied, the first boon I wanted from Lord Jagannath was, O Lord, I want to see you as Lord Chaitanya used to see you. And what happened, Maharaj? The Lord was gracious enough. I saw Lord Jagannath exactly as Lord Chaitanya used to see him day and night, year after year, so long as he lived. As you know, the last 18 years of his life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had only lived in Puri. And we don't know, some people say he died because of some gangrene, or he got drowned in the ocean thinking that it is Yamuna. Many times it happened. Or there are also theories, he was killed by the priests because of his popularity. We don't know exactly what happened to him. And he was, some legend goes, he became sick, he passed away, and the king Prataparudra had got him buried within the temple complex itself. We don't know, we don't care also. But what is important is to live, according to Sri Ramakrishna, in three states, complete unconsciousness. Then he identified himself with the Lord completely, half consciousness, when he used to meditate and dance like a mad elephant, and outward consciousness, when he used to talk, sing, and spend his days joyfully only in conversing about the Lord. Three states are there. Last 18 years of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life was totally spent like that. Now what are we talking about? The first boon was that I want to see you exactly as Lord Chaitanya used to see and forget the entire world. And what happened, Maharaj? The Lord, out of his infinite mercy, fulfilled my desire. What was the second boon, Maharaj? He said, I prayed to the Lord that whatever food I eat, whatever water I drink anywhere, let it be digested. And this boon appeared to be very strange boon. So the devotees asked at Swami, Latu Maharaj. And then he replied, don't you understand? A sadhu has to eat foods at different places, to drink water at different places, and every sort of food, every sort of water may not suit him. And if the body falls sick, where is the question of doing any sadhana? Even the question of living happily doesn't arise. The question of sadhana never arises. So if I can eat well, if I can digest whatever I eat by God's grace, and then I can continue my sadhana. Here my question also will be, does Latu Maharaj really require to do sadhana? No. He was a Jivan Mukta. Why does he need to do? Whole life he spent only in doing japam, doing meditation, and talking about God. You will not find a single worldly subject talked by Latu Maharaj. Then the answer to that is that every one of these great souls, direct disciples, they spend their time only in these things. First of all, to set an example to all of us, and secondly, to inspire. Because if they don't do, or if then we follow, oh, this Swami is not doing anything, we will also not do anything. We will only see the outward gestures. We never know what is the inner condition of people. And in that connection, I remember how Swami Brahmananji taught a great lesson to one of the brahmacharis. Swami Brahmananji was at Haridwar in our Kankal Ashrama, and there was a brahmachari who thought he was highly intelligent and he can understand the mentality are the condition of a Jivan Mukta. One day Maharaj wanted to teach him a lesson. He took him out into the streets for a walk, and suddenly there was a great large number of people, and they were all going in a procession, huge procession, and the head of one of the akadas, one of the most prestigious monasteries there, he was traveling on a pure white horse, beautiful horse, very finely decorated with silk cloths, etc. And the head of the matha was covered like a maharaja, and devotees were throwing flowers and everything, doing aratrikam, prostrating themselves. And Raja Maharaj looked at the Swami, looked at the Brahmachari and asked him, "What do you think about this sadhu?" And the Brahmachari, "This person is a fake. He is after worldly name and fame. He wants to show himself off." And Raja Maharaj could not stop his laughter in derision. And then he explained, "You foolish boy, I know this man is a Jivan Mukta Mahapurusha. He is a knower of Brahma. And this is how he pretends to fools like you who have adverse opinion. They will never seek his company, and they will have thinking bad things about him, and they will never go anywhere near. That is how he wants to keep these people away. Of course, it is a sad thing. We want such people, but still, these great people, unfortunately for us, sometimes behave like mad people, like children, like Unmatha, like Jada, like a great Pandit." So when a Jivan Mukta lives with great, comes into great Pandits, he becomes the greatest Pandit. When he is in the company of great kings, he will be an emperor of all of them. When he is with children, he becomes like a child. And when he is among madcaps, he will be the maddest cap. When he will sometimes be absolutely unconscious of the entire world, days, months together. Ramana Maharshi, when he first went to Thiruvannamalai, many people mistook him for a madcap, started throwing stones. Sometimes even blood used to come. That's why he chose the what is called Patala Griha in the Arunachala Shiva. There is a basement, and it is full of scorpions and full of insects, full of flies, mosquitoes, etc. And he used to live there, and he said, "I don't know how days and nights have passed, completely absorbed in the self, Atman. And snakes used to crawl, and scorpions used to crawl, and of course mosquitoes, etc. will bite, but I was completely unconscious of it. And somehow or other, the food used to come by somebody, and then I survived for several months until somebody discovered him and then started taking care of him, and then slowly he became famous." This was also the story of Sri Ramakrishna. For 6 months continuously, he lived in Nirvikarpa Samadhi, and from somewhere an unknown monk came, and then he understood the condition that this man has to fulfill a great mission. That's why the Divine Mother has kept him in this condition. So somehow Mother had given him that understanding, and then he used to stay at Dakshineswar, prepare a little food, and then go to Sri Ramakrishna and try to bring him to outer consciousness. And sometimes he used to softly beat Sri Ramakrishna's body until his mind comes down a little, and then he used to take a little bit of food and force it into his mouth. And Sri Ramakrishna later mentioned a little bit of that food sometimes used to go inside, and most of it is used to fall down. But that little bit that has gone inside by the Divine Mother's will, it was sufficient to keep the body and soul together, because he was like in hibernated state. And then after 6 months, Ramakrishna received, "Remain in Bhava Mukha." And then Ramakrishna's mind slowly started coming down, and it was also helped that that time Jagadamba Dasi, the wife of Madhur Babu, was severely sick, and the physicians gave up all hope. Madhur Babu came, fell at the feet of Sri Ramakrishna and told him Ramakrishna in an ecstatic state said, do not worry, Jagadamba Dasi will recover. But as a result of that, the disease of the Jagadamba Dasi was transferred into the body. Severe pain was there, and slowly, because of that pain, the mind, whose tendency is to fly towards the Nirvikalpa state, slowly started coming down, because there is a great mission to be fulfilled by him, Divine Mother's mission. That's why Divine Mother commanded him, remain in Bhava Mukha. And at that time, hundreds of real Paramahamsas, through some unknown attraction, used to visit Dakshineswar, stay there for days and months together, and get the company of Sri Ramakrishna, and get fulfilled their own lacuna in the Jnana Marga, the path of the Jnanam, and having got fulfilled, and then getting rid of their obstacles by His grace, because Sri Ramakrishna was the medium through which the Divine Mother wanted to bestow her grace upon all those visitors, and then they went away. And then later on, Sri Ramakrishna said, whenever I completed a particular sadhana, and sadhakas belonging to that particular sadhana, and hundreds used to visit, get fulfillment, and then slowly they used to go their own way. How much they also helped in spreading the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna, we do not know, but that is an unknown chapter, excepting for the mention of Sri Ramakrishna. And here, in the 22nd verse, this Shankaracharya, in this Bhajagovindam Stotram, is giving us that such a Jivan Mukta, how does he live? Rathya Charpata Virachita Kanthaha. Rathya means on the road, anywhere. Roads and in the corners of villages or anywhere on the roadsides. Charpata means torn cloths, tattered rags, Virachita. And then some blanket, maybe pieces, and full of holy blankets, full of holes, but he doesn't mind. Kantaha. And then he patches, and then he puts it on, and he feels, I have the more costliest Kashmiri shawl on my body. There is no shortage of clothing for a monk, so long as there are rags cast on the road, freed from vices and virtues. Onward he wanders. One who lives in communion with God enjoys bliss, pure and uncontaminated and unbroken. And he lives like a child or as an intoxicated or bala unmattavat eva. So this is only a partial description of a Jivan Mukta. Rathya, that means on the road, charpata, torn, tattered, virachita kanda, whatever he gets, he will tie them together, and somehow he will put on his body, and it will be, you can understand what will be the condition. It may be evil smelling. Such a sadhu once happened to come to Dakshineswar also, and then Ramakrishna was narrating in the gospel, I went and clasped the neck of Hride and I wept, oh Hride, will I be in this condition? He was shuddering to see whether I also will become like a man. And Sri Ramakrishna himself said later on, yes, for some time I was also in that condition. I used to eat whatever people offered me. I used to take a broken pot in which there is a mango plant, and then I used to carry it with a bamboo, and I used to pass urine wherever. And then people thought I became really mad. And Sri Ramakrishna is telling, my madness is a blessed madness. But then, a mad person is completely unaware of self. Whereas this madcap is only aware of the self, not aware of the world. This is the big difference between what is called a madman and a godman. Outwardly, both of them appear to be the same. But inwardly, they are absolutely different. Completely, what is called heaven and hell difference is there, diametrically opposite to each other. And not only that, the second line is even more intriguing, mysterious. Punya, apunya, vivarjita pantha. Pantha means path. Vivarjita means completely divide. He doesn't care about punya and apunya. That is virtue and vice. Does it mean to say that he will be doing something which is immoral, unvirtuous, full of papa? No. This is what a great saint had expressed in his, what is called, Kali's devotee, Ramprasad. Dharma, dharma, amar, dharma, adharma, duty yellow. I became mad after the Divine Mother and I have lost both dharma and adharma. What does it mean? It means he is incapable of thinking what is dharma, what is adharma, because the Divine Mother will do everything for him. This, there are beautiful ideas and very interesting. Each verse is interesting. This verse is also very interesting. We will talk about it in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May the Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.